Hey guys, welcome back to another week of Autastic, your comedian's guide to autism. I'm one of your hosts, Kirk Smith, and my co-host as always,
Graham Kay. How's it going, everybody?
Good to have you back in the good old US, huh? You had a big event up in the
Was up in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. I love it when Americans go like, I'm in Edmonton, Canada. To me, that sounds like I'm in Dallas, America. You know, I don't know. But anyway.
Wait a minute. So it should be what? Edmonton?
Alberta. But it doesn't matter.
Right. That's right. That's true. I didn't think of that. That's true. I'm in Oklahoma. I'm in Kansas City, America.
In New York City, America.
That's funny.
Okay. Anyway, I was in Ottawa, my hometown, and I was in town for the, you know what, before I get into it, let's set up our podcast, you know, let's do the thing that we
try to do
every week. Yeah. Let's be professional. This is the Comedian's Guide to Autism. We are two professional stand-up comedians. I live in New York. Kirk lives in LA. We are not people with autism ourselves, but we do have loved ones with autism, and this is a podcast about what it's like to be somebody who has loved one with autism. I have an autistic brother. He is 33, and he's the best, and somewhere on the middle to high end of the spectrum. Not that it's a ranking, we know. No hate mail, please. And Kirk Smith. My friend all over there in the sunshine state, he has a son who is 19 years old with autism, and he's fantastic. Somewhere on the having more trouble functioning spectrum.
We got an email. My son is 19, and he is severely autistic. I call it. We did have an email from a guy who was concerned about rating the functioning of people with autism as somehow like an indication of value, which isn't the case at all. It's just a way for people who are concerned with their loved ones and trying to help them to talk about where they're at so that we can better help. It's basically, it's all in love, man.
Yes, this is a shorthand to communicate and let the listeners understand quickly without doing a 10-minute recap every week.
Exactly.
And by no way do you not love your son as much as you love your daughter, who is neuronormative. You know, it's just you love your son. He's a very worthwhile human being. He's fantastic.
He
I love my brother, and he's absolutely fantastic. I love him way more than a lot of my friends love their brothers who do not have autism. And that's it. It's just, it's a show about love. It's just a shorthand. And I highly doubt anyone listening to this would go, oh, they're ranking people with autism. You know, I don't think so. I think it's a worthy thing to ask if you're asking. But we are not doing that. And if you are a person with autism listening, we love you too. Not as much as our loved ones, but thank you so much for listening. That's a different scale, but not based on autism. So thanks so much for listening. Let's start off with the week in review, should we?
Yeah, I feel like that was the best intro I think we've had. I think, what is this, episode 130 or something, 135? We finally figured it out. Good night.
I've had
leaving.
Three copies. I'm in the zone.
I know you introduced your son, your brother, and my son. I'm like, Graham's on it today.
I need someone to talk to. I'm glad we're doing this. Otherwise, I'd be just pacing in my apartment waiting to do comedy tonight.
I love it.
So I just got back.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I talked over. Go ahead.
No, you set it up. You talk. I'm talking too much.
I'll say we had a good week this week. Long-time listeners, we do a week in review. JJ has taken to redecorating his apartment by slowly tearing it apart. So he tore out the drywall and the insulation, which we've had to replace. And now he is pulling up the floor. And so I posted a picture on my Instagram if you want to follow Kirk Smith Comedy.
I saw that.
Of him pulling up the linoleum. And so now we are trying to figure out what to do. So it looks like we are going to install wood, which is harder to pull up.
Do you have to pay for that?
No. Well, we'll see. It's fine. I feel very lucky that I'm not paying for his the care he receives from the people. The people is the most expensive part. You know, which gets me on a sidetracked on a thing about how we always train people to kill people for free, but when you need care for the disabled, it's never free. So that's a different issue though for a different time. But he's doing pretty good.
Oh, this is also this is a communist socialist podcast, everybody. We should know that.
Send your letters to Graham K, please. he's doing pretty good. I've got a little summer tour coming up, so I'm going to go see him in Sweden. I'm really excited about that. I miss him desperately. Great. And
when's the last time you saw him?
It's been months, right? I'm trying to think. When was that? February? It's been a while. So it's been a while. And so
you're FaceTiming every day still, right?
Yeah, we're still doing the FaceTime, which is going pretty good. He plays his little tricks on me where he wants to pick his nose. Just all say don't pick your nose and his little games, but he's doing good overall. He's doing good.
That's good.
We need to get him a new he's probably going to need a little I'm hesitant to say surgery, but he's starting to grow. This is new. Like a skin tag, which I don't know what else to call that, but it's like, I think that's the official medical term, which is like a little piece of skin on the side of his head. And so it's making cutting his hair a little more complicated. And so it's getting bigger now, so it needs to get, so we're starting to look into talking to a doctor about that, which, you know, any medical stuff is always a little unsettling, especially because he won't let you touch him like that. So then you have to put him out, which is, like, you know, obviously a risk. You know, anytime you take anesthesia, it's always complicated. So yeah, we're working on that. He's got this little flap of skin on the side of his head that so his mouth healed up from eating the insulation, the fiberglass, and so that's good. How's Pete doing?
He's a curious guy, it sounds like. He wants to
know
what's
underneath
everything.
He's very curious. He's still doing a lot of research on Google for different computers and Oreo cookies. And so I will be sure to bring him some Oreo cookies when I go. And I was talking to his aide about, I was like, I wonder if he's hungry, you know, if he's eating the drywall. And then she, like, went through the list of what he's eating. And I was like, okay, he's fine. I'll read you guys the list. Let me pull that up. That would have been smart.
Yeah.
Okay. First, let us say that he's eating twice as much as everybody else here. She's like, oh, okay, that's good.
Well, they got an American boy, you know.
He's a big boy. 6:30, breakfast, sandwiches and juice, fruit and cornflakes. 11, lunch at school. When he comes home, he gets fruit or a sandwich, which he gets home like at 3. 4:30, dinner. 7 o'clock, fruit. 9 o'clock, fruit, sandwich, and juice, and several glasses of water to every meal. Sometimes they buy fika. Fika's like it's like tea. It's like British have tea, where it's like really, they say tea, but it's really cookies. Hey, you want tea, which is like code for like little cakes and cookies. And sometimes they buy fika in school too. And he tells us if he's hungry, and he gets snacks every day. So I'm like, okay, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Plus, he's eating twice as much as everybody else. Okay,
he's
fine.
He's losing weight, too.
He is losing weight, which is really great. Really great. So,
got a high metabolism, that kid.
Yeah, very active. Very active. And I do feel like, you know, he has a thing that a lot of people, a lot of families with an autistic loved one have talked to me about, which is we feel like sometimes he'll eat when he's bored. Like, there's no way you're hungry. I just saw what you just ate. And so, like, if you're like, okay, no, that's it, then he'll stop eating. But if you serve it family style or like a buffet, he'll just keep eating.
Yeah, so, Peter will do that. My brother will do that. My brother's.
Yeah, it's very common.
Got an amazing appetite. It's quite something.
So yeah, I think that part's really good. The discipline of it, where it's like, and the objectivity where his mom or his dad might have felt like, oh, no, poor kid, he's got to eat. And I'm like, what are you, he's 40 pounds overweight, doesn't eat that much, he's fine. So versus the staff is like, no, he just ate. He ate this. And they're keeping an eye on it. And, you know, oh, the other kid his age ate half that much. So I'm sure he's probably fine.
Yeah.
How's Pete doing? How's your week in review doing?
Pete's doing fantastic. Fantastically. I was just home on Thursday to host the Live, Work, Play banquet, where what they did is that it was a fundraiser. It's called Make a Buzz. Their mascot is our logo is a bumblebee. And I basically hosted a banquet where I brought up presenters, which gave out awards. I set up every award. So
that's terrific.
That's pretty much it. Did a quick little monologue in the beginning. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. I got to give a couple shout outs to my brother, you know, because they had like a slideshow that corresponded with the script and to explain who I am. And so I was like, you know, I'm Peter's brother. We got a big shout out for Autastic on there as well.
Oh, cool.
We've got some new listeners, I think. And, you know, they put Peter's picture with me up on the big screen there and Peter got really jazzed because he's a big show off. And then he stood up.
He's definitely your brother.
Yeah. He was close to the podium and I was like, exactly. And I was like, there's my brother, Peter. And then the picture went up and everyone started clapping. And then he got up and he put his hands on his hips and he stood up and he stared at everybody. And then he gave everyone the Spider-Man salute where you take your ring finger and your middle finger and push them into your palm. And then you sort of point your wrist at people like you're shooting webs.
It's a little bit the Hook'em Horns, the Texas Longhorns.
Sure. So, yeah. And he was just doing that to everybody with both of it, you know, and then
I love it.
I mean, it was the best. He loved it. I love it when
you interviewed him for our podcast and he leans over to your girlfriend at the time and is like, I get interviewed sometimes for his podcast.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I get interviewed. You know, I'm a big deal over here. You know, they come to me for dad to hear what the real deal is, you know.
I love it.
Yeah. So he's doing great. The Liver Play is an amazing organization. Keenan Weller and Julie Kingstone are fantastic, amazing people.
What was the theme you said it was? Buzz?
Make a buzz. I also did an auction. We auctioned off a bunch of prizes, $2,000 at Best Buy.
Wow, that's great.
$1,000 at Best Buy, $2,000 plus 4 nights stay in Hawaii for travel. We made 20 grand. We were able to raise 20 grand.
That's terrific, man.
And terrific.
Too bad you couldn't have a tie-in with Bumble. You got to make a buzz and have like a dating thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's an amazing organization, and I'm sure organizations exist like that in your community. And, you know, it's the way the world is going. You hear only bad news on the news, and you start to think that the world is full of – if you watch the news, how do you convince that the world is full of jerks and the world's crumbling? And it's really important to volunteer and be around – organizations like that, because it was 300 people in a room and each and every one was a fantastic human being volunteering their time, donating money.
I will say like if I had to do it again, I would encourage young parents to take time to seek out these groups, because sometimes it doesn't even occur to you that like there's like this group in this area, and there are groups like this in a lot of areas, but it takes a second to like do a Google search, get out of your comfort zone, go down there on a Tuesday when you don't know anybody and it's a little uncomfortable. But just remember, there's a lot of people going through exactly the same thing. And so it's...
Put it this way. My mother is not a religious person, and she describes Live, Work, Play as a godsend.
Exactly.
She swears by them. And anyway, so these are fantastic organization, fantastic group of people, fantastic volunteers. I was I was gonna put my flight on points and do it for free, but I was in LA the week before and I forgot my credit card at a bar. And the way my points work on my credit card is you have to purchase the plane ticket on the credit card, then reimburse yourself with the point. So long story short is I had to pay for this flight back in full. And I made sure to tell everybody that.
And you're telling everybody now. Thousands of people now know.
Absolutely. And I made everyone stand up and give me a standing ovation.
Guys, but if you know Graham, the true test of what he's like is he left his credit card at the bar.
Yeah. I was like, you guys are all fine people, but I'd like you all to know that I'm doing this. I'm paying to do.
Mostly because I got drunk at a bar and forgot my credit card.
Yeah. Yes. It's an added testament to what kind of a man I am.
Oh, I love this podcast.
It's fun to make everyone give you a standing ovation.
I love it. It's a yin and yang to this podcast. It's great.
But I came very close to crying. I basically cried at one point, and because I didn't read the script ahead enough, and I read the script and I added some things and I added some jokes to it, but there was one page I didn't mess with the descriptors too much of the awards because I'm not going to add a joke to a descriptor of something that's important and doesn't involve me.
Right.
And I was reading it and it was an award that was donated by a family of a kid who, I believe his name was Ryan Moore. And he was just like my brother, and he was riding the bus, and he got taught to ride the bus by Live Work Play to go to work. And he was linked up with a job through Live Work Play, like my brother. And there was a accident on the bus. I got hit by the bus driver fell asleep or something. And a bunch of people died on the bus, and he was one of the kids.
Oh, wow.
People who died on the bus. It was a city bus, not a school bus. And that's exactly what my brother was. And it just hit me, you know, and I couldn't. It's like when you're laughing in the principal's office and you can't stop laughing, only like way sadder. And
but the opposite.
Yeah. And then I muscled through it and got over it. And because you can't help but think of, you know, your family member. And then, so luckily it was one of those awards where you bring somebody up and they do the rest. They talk for 5 minutes and I was able to recover. And then the very next person up was, presenters was a young man with Down syndrome and his uncle who worked together and volunteered together. And he, you know, the guy who happens to have Down syndrome, you know, took to the mic and said some words, and he was like talking to his uncle about how much he loves his uncle and he appreciates all the time and he thinks he's a great man. And then I'm sitting in the background crying again. I was like, I just got over this. It was too much. It was just a room full of beautiful, fantastic people. And it was a lot of love. I was surrounded by more love than I'd been around in a long time. It was really nice.
You should open up your Bumble account, Graham.
Oh, it's open. It's always open, baby. It's a dating app if you don't know what it is.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. It's a dating app if you're not single. Kind of like Tinder, I guess. Yeah. Why are we talking about this? Let's do it in the news.
Yes, let's do it in the news. This is a fun one.
This is a really interesting one. Yeah. Per usual, it's out of a UK publication, as seems to be often the case, called The Independent, which you've probably heard of. It's a very reputable publication. The title is Prehistoric Autism Helped Produce Much of the World's Earliest Great Art, study says. Harsh Ice Age conditions may have favored the selection of genes, which allowed some humans to focus on tasks in great detail for long periods of time, scientists believe. Much of the world's earliest great art was likely to be created by gifted early humans on the autism spectrum, the new research by the British scientists suggests. Archaeologists working in conjunction with autism experts have concluded that humans were able to produce the first realistic art some 33,000 years ago because ice age conditions drove the selection of a particular combination of genes. Harsh conditions favored the natural selection of genes, which predisposed some humans to develop abilities to focus on tasks in great detail for long periods of time, to perceive their environments in three-dimensional terms in an enhanced way, to develop greater image retention abilities, and to develop greater aptitudes to identify and analyze patterns of geography and movement. All these aptitudes, often found in people in the autism spectrum, allowed Ice Age humans to make more efficient flint-hunting spearheads, a very time-consuming process, needing intense detail focus, and to remember a minute detail or navigate through thousands of square miles of hunting terrain to remember and analyze patterns of animal behavior. But these new, should I read the whole thing? This is quite lengthy. I guess the part that jumps out to me was I've always wondered, kind of like how men have nipples, like how does autism help? If it's been around forever, what are the advantages like, like the evolution? So, sorry, let me start over. I've always wondered that.
Hey, look, I've always wondered why men have nipples.
Now, I'm going to cut that part.
You leave that in. You let the people know.
I've always wondered, basically, that when things are still part of humanity, there's a reason that evolution hasn't gotten rid of them, right? So if there's autistic people since the beginning of time, there's got to be some reason for this to keep happening, right? There's some advantage to humanity to have people on the spectrum. They provide something.
And so we've talked about this in the past.
Exactly.
If they end up finding it in the womb and people start, you know, fiddling with that kind of stuff, or even before
genomics,
you know what I mean?
It makes for a poor culture, I agree, in society.
I think so. And I was thinking about that the other day too, just, you know, with everyone in the room there was something called the...
Hold on. I want to finish just one thought. I didn't get to finish it. I was just going to say...
I was going to go on a huge tangent. You're right.
Let me just finish
partners
this.
Are four.
Let me just finish this one thought. I'm just going to say that I feel like if you're part of a small tribe, and there's 10, 20 people, and one of the people is really good at remembering how you got there and the directions and good at making tools, they don't necessarily have to be the guy who goes out and stabs the bear. If they make you the best tools, everybody's like, great, you just make the spears. Buddy, I'll go stab the bear. And so everybody provides a different role, and it makes for a richer society, culture, and better health and wealth for all of us. Go ahead, buddy.
No, I was just saying that there's something called the disability advantage or something along the lines of that, that it actually makes family members who have somebody with developmentally delayed in their family, it raises the empathy and basically makes everyone in the family a better person.
Oh, for sure. There's no way I'm doing this podcast if my son doesn't have autism.
There's no way I even talk to you, Kirk.
Well, there's no way we're just like, let's just sit around and talk about autism for 3 years every week.
No way.
But it's a very interesting article. We're going to post it on our Facebook. It just talks about at a very basic level how people on the spectrum enriched their group's lives back then, and I feel like they still do the same thing today. It still enriches your loved ones' lives.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's a very interesting article, twofold, for me and maybe you in particular, is that we're pseudo-artists, you know.
Definitely. It's not science.
I always feel weird calling stand-up art.
I don't feel weird. It's not science. It's definitely art.
Yeah, sure.
Performance art.
But it is art, some form or another.
Yeah.
And we do share some sort of a gene, you and I, that either causes or produces, or we might have a little bit of it ourselves. You know, and so if
I think part
articles. Go ahead.
I was just saying, I think part of what makes a good comic is the ability to kind of see things from the outside a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I think that feeling of being on the outside and having a slightly skewed perspective or opinion is what makes it funny. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons there's so many comedians who are on the spectrum.
Absolutely.
It's true. There's so many. Well, I think we did it.
Yeah.
Guys, if you have a second, please add me on Instagram or Facebook, Kirk Smith Comedy. Rate and review us on iTunes. This time of year is this is Disability Month, right, where they highlight people with disabilities. We'd love it if you would share this podcast with somebody who you might think would be interested, whether it's on SoundCloud or Podbeam or whatever it's called. Tag your friends. Rate and review us on iTunes. That helps us show up in these searches a little bit better. I'm not a scientist. I don't know how it
works.
Also,
you certainly are. I just found out, Kirk.
What's up?
I guess I always sort of knew, but I didn't really put it together. You told me before this podcast we recorded, we are the biggest autism podcast in the world.
Yep, that's true.
I kind of knew that, but I didn't really put it together. That's amazing.
Yeah, we've been...
I'm doing something with my life.
Yeah, this is, as far as listenership, we get thousands of listeners. Yeah, and we appreciate, really, most of our success, if you can call it success, has been word of mouth, guys. And whenever if you like this, if you would tag one of your friends, if you'd all just send it to one person, we'd really appreciate it. And we love you guys. Am I missing anything?
No, I'm at Instagram K on Instagram. I'm also at Mr. Graham K on the Twitter. And go to patreon.com/autastic, patreon.com/autastic to donate to this podcast so we can keep doing it, really. We do need your donations, and we appreciate those of you who do donate. And that's it. Thanks very much for listening.
Have a great week, guys. You can do it.